presentation of Basic ABA was created by Milestones Autism Organization, a nonprofit organization dedicated to train parents and professionals of best practice approaches to working with children on the autism spectrum. If you would like to find out more about Milestones or find autism information or resources, go to www.milestones.org. My name is Kirsten Johnson, and my information is also on milestones.org. This is part 5 of Basic ABA. We'll be discussing task analysis and collecting data. We've talked a little bit about task analysis on the other parts of Basic ABA, but what it is breaking down something that's very difficult into small teachable steps. It can be done with an activity, such as just a jigsaw puzzle, or it could be done for a skill, such as learning to wash your hands. Okay, so an example of a jigsaw puzzle. This is something we naturally break down for people because it's a very difficult thing to learn how to do. With a jigsaw puzzle, what is the first thing that you would do? You would dump out the pieces. Okay, the second thing you would do would be turn them over so they're all facing the same way. The third thing you would do is find all the sides and the corners. And then the fourth thing you would do is maybe find common colors. And this, it makes it so much easier in order to work on it. You've broke it down in the smaller steps. And even when we teach the skills of washing your hands, when you teach a child, to a typical developing child, how to wash their hands, you still break it down. You don't say, okay, wash your hands. No, you have to say, okay, you need to wash your hands. First, we're going to do is turn on the water. Okay, then you need to do this and pump the soap on your hands. Okay, then you're going to wash them together and you're going to sing the ABC song. All right, then you're going to put them under the water and then you're going to turn it off and then you're going to go over and dry your hands. Okay, so you do break down tasks when you're first teaching it for children who are typically developing. One of the best ways to help your child with these self-help skills is through something called graduated guidance. This is when you shadow your child or stand behind them while doing a self-help skill, and you only prompt them when it's needed. For example, if you're trying to help your child wash their hands, then you would go in and give the SD wash hands and then wait to see during each step if they do it independently. And so you pause, and if they don't reach to turn on the water, then you would hand over hand help them turn on the water. And then pausing before the next step and see if they put their hand under the water before giving them another prompt. You're always going to give them the opportunity to try to do it on their own. And when you do prompt, you want to give them the least amount of prompting that they need to be successful. And you would just do this each time that you would work on this self-help skill. The important part to this is repetition and consistency, that you have the same procedure for washing their hands. Now, some people do feel their child needs a visual support to help them, and that can help them become more independent because you don't have to be there. You can start using the visuals. But most of the time, you don't need that visual support. When I say visual support, I mean having pictures presented for each step of that skill. So some people like to have each step presented where the child could either take them off or put them on after they've completed each step. Or it could just be there as a reminder. Don't forget to reinforce them when they're done completing the self-help skill. Now for our first ASR question. Task analysis helps when learning a complicated skill by A, describing how it feels, B, breaking it down in the smaller steps, or C, creating more steps. Okay, let's see. B, I believe it's B, breaking it down in the smaller steps. I would use this skill to teach your child how to take the dishes out of the dishwasher. Just first start doing the silverware and having them putting that away, and then the glasses, and then the cups, and then the plates, and there you go. You got yourself a new dishwasher. A lot of kids enjoy that kind of stuff. I want to reiterate that You know, if things aren't, if a child is having a difficult time learning a skill, some of the things you can look at is what are your reinforcements? What are your prompts? Are you prompting too much or too little? And have you broken it down into small enough steps? Or is it still just too complicated to teach? I want to make sure you understand that this podcast was not created in order for a parent to run an ABA program, but in order for a parent to use the basic principles of ABA with their child in the home. And that would be reinforcement and prompting and discrete trials. In order to say that you're running an ABA program in your home, you have to be collecting data. That is a very important part of an ABA program. You also need to have a very detailed description of the skill you're working on. When running an ABA program, you'll be working on multiple skills, and you need to be able to use data to find out if the reinforcement and the prompting you're using is helping the child learn those skills. You need to be able to have data to analyze and evaluate so you can see what changes need to be made. So when I talk to you about data, I'm going to be giving you the minimal amount of information that you would need to write down in order to find out if the basic principles that you're using, reinforcement and prompting, are being effectively used. It is important to keep data on anything new that you would do with your child. So if you're going to try a new diet or a new approach or a new program, that you want to see if after they're done or after a period of time, if it's meeting the goals that you have for that program for your child. And the first thing you're going to need to do is to make a baseline. Data also helps you be objective. Sometimes when you start something new, you want it to work, especially if you put a lot of money into that program or into that diet. It is harder to be objective about the results. You also don't want to rely on your memory. And data also helps you see what is and is not working within that program. So if you do not see an increase or a decrease, then you can go back and problem solve and find out, well, what is it that's causing it? And specifically with using ABA principles, am I using enough prompting? Am I using too much prompting? Are my reinforcers great enough? So the data can help you be more successful. Now, most baselines are through direct observation. So you're watching the child without prompting or reinforcing and seeing whether or not they can do it on their own. So you give the SD, wash your hands, and stand there and see if they're able to follow the direction without any assistance. Or do the puzzle and putting the puzzle down and seeing if they can complete the whole task independently. I encourage parents to take videos of their child and make sure you date them. And you can use that as a way of observing if there has been any change. So let's say that, for example, you wanted to teach your child how to do a four-piece puzzle. So you would give the SD to do the puzzle and wait to see if the child is able to do it independently. So you have taken a baseline. The child cannot do it independently with the SD. So you would want to date that and then write down exactly what your desired skill is that you want to teach. So you want to teach your child to be able to do a four-piece puzzle independently with the SD of do the puzzle. Then each time you work with the child on the puzzle, you want to describe what kind of reinforcements you used and what kind of prompts you had to use. And especially you can start with what was the first type of prompt that you had to use when working with them and what was the last type of prompt you had to work on with them. And then that way you can see if there has been a decrease in the level of prompting that you needed to use. So for example, you may have had to give a full physical prompt for each piece as you are working on the puzzle. But by the end of the time that you were working with the child, you were only giving full physical prompt for two of the pieces, and the last two she could do independently. You can also include anecdotal information of, you know, where it was, what time of day, whether she seemed distracted, he or she seemed more distracted during that period of time, that they were stimming a lot, that you saw an increase of behaviors, because this can sometimes be good information that if you don't see an increase throughout a few days, that she doesn't seem to be able to get beyond two pieces, putting in independently, you can figure out what it is that may be causing this delay. Again, this is very, very basic data information. If you're doing an ABA program, it has to be much more detailed and exact. Data is also really important if you are working towards decreasing a behavior, but we won't be talking about that in this presentation. Remember that you can still use the ABA basic principles throughout your whole day. You can always be using positive reinforcement and being aware when you're accidentally reinforcing behavior that is negative, and using prompting throughout your day without having to take data. That's only if there's a specific skill that you would like to work on. Okay, now for the final ASR question. Why is it important to take data? Is it A, because it's subjective, B, because it promotes memory loss, or C, because it can help you evaluate progress? Of course, the answer is C, to evaluate progress. And I want to encourage you to use this with any new programs or diets or techniques that you may start to use. Be sure to try one thing at a time. Again, this podcast is not being made to train you to be an ABA tutor. It is for parents to be able to give them some type of tools to help work with their child throughout the day, or just to react to different things that their child is doing. You know that reinforcement helps increase the likelihood that the child's going to do that response again. And prompting is being used to help shape a particular response that you would like to have. Please feel free to contact me if you have any questions. My email address is milestonesorg@gmail.com. Please visit our website at www.milestones.org to find out other workshops that we do have available. We currently have workshops on ABA during play, Be Prepared, Creating Behavioral Plans for Your Child, and How to Encourage Communications for Verbal and Nonverbal Children. A prerequisite to these workshops is the knowledge of reinforcement, prompting, and discrete trial, is what we've covered in this 5-part series. Milestones hopes to have role-playing video available soon on our website, so please continue to visit back, or you can sign up for our e-newsletter, which you can do at the front page of our website. Just put in your email address and it will get sent to you the next month. Please email me any feedback or comments that you would like to make about this specific podcast. You can send it again to milestonesorg@gmail.com. Thank you.